God our Father, you gave to Zechariah and Elizabeth in their old age a son called John. He grew up strong in spirit, prepared the people for the coming of the Lord, and baptized them in the Jordan to wash away their sins. Help us who have been baptized into Christ to be ready to welcome him into our hearts and to grow strong in faith by the power of the Spirit. We ask this through Jesus Christ, the light who is coming into the world. Amen. Now we hear our first reading.
Our first reading is Isaiah chapter 35, reading all 10 verses of the chapter. It's on page 720 of the Church Bibles. Isaiah chapter 35, beginning at verse 1. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, and the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground, bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We stand for the gospel reading. Reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, beginning to read at verse 2. I'm going to go a little bit beyond verse 11 where the notice sheet announces. So Matthew 11, beginning at verse 2. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, our Lord. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Jesus replied, Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I tell you, Among those born of women, there is not yet risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. Whoever has ears, let him hear. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We affirm our faith as we join together in the words of the Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please sit. Sorry about the loud noises. And now may I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. John the Baptist pops up today and at another point in Advent and somewhere else in the year as well. He's clearly someone that those who devised the lectionary readings, the schedule of readings, clearly is someone considered to be important. And he's clearly considered to be important by Jesus, because he says, "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist." So clearly someone very important. But as Jesus is speaking to the crowd about him and his disciples, John's in prison, and before very much longer, John will be killed basically on a whim by Herod. Different Herod. Long story, we won't go into that. But the king, the puppet king of the Romans. So John's not somebody in many senses terribly remarkable. As Jesus says, "Did you go out to see a man dressed in fine clothes? No, they're in king's palaces." Which is a bit ironic, because at this point John is in the king's jail. So John is an enigmatic figure. There's no two ways about it. He is in some senses a kind of a bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament, because he has all the attributes, all the appearance, all the passion of an Old Testament prophet. Back through the history of the Old Testament prophets, you see them doing very similar things to John, being out in the wilderness, calling people to repentance, and so on. So John is very much in that tradition of the Old Testament prophets. And yet he appears at the beginning of the New Testament as Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. John, in Elizabeth's womb, recognizes Jesus. As Mary greets Elizabeth, the baby in her womb leaps. So even before he was born, John recognized Jesus. And they're kind of cousins in some way or another. We're not quite sure exactly what the relationship between Mary and Elizabeth, or Mary and Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband. But they're related in some way. And because both women were pregnant at the same time, clearly much the same age, within a few months of each other. We don't know very much at all about John's early life. I'm sure there are plenty of legends around that could fill in every pious detail, but the Bible is pretty silent until he appears calling people to repentance and to baptism for repentance by the River Jordan. And he's like all the Old Testament prophets, he's not pointing people towards himself. The Old Testament prophets were pointing people towards God, towards God's activity, towards often God's activity at some future time, as we heard in our reading from the prophet Isaiah this morning, a time when the brokenness of creation will be made whole again. John, however, has a very specific message, and it's pointing to God's anointed one, pointing to God's Messiah. As it turns out, pointing to his cousin, Jesus. Now, again, we don't know what contact there had been between John and Jesus as they were growing up. I imagine, if they're anything like most families, there would have been some, because Mary went off to see Elizabeth when she found out that she was pregnant with Jesus. So clearly there was a closeness between those two women, even though Elizabeth is considerably older than Mary. But we don't know what interaction there had been between them. But we know from earlier in Matthew's Gospel, when John sees Jesus coming, he says, "Look, the Lamb of God, behold," the older and probably preferable translations in this case, "behold the Lamb of God." John saw Jesus for who he really is, the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the one who was to come. But he wasn't sure. He was sure about God, and he was sure about the need for people to repent of their sins and be ready, but he wasn't certain of Jesus. Now, I must say, I've got several cousins because I come from a Catholic family on both sides of the family, so I have many cousins. I think originally 36. A few of them have gone to be with the Lord since then, but that's quite a lot of cousins. And as a family, because there's so many of us, we don't see each other very often. But if one of my cousins just declared themselves to be the Messiah or started to act in a Messiah-ish sort of way, I think I would have thought, really? I know you. What are you like? Seriously? You're the one sent by God? Not sure about that. I need some proof. And maybe that was what was going on here. I don't know. But John's in prison. He hears about the deeds of the Messiah. That's interesting that Matthew should use that word. Not about the deeds of Jesus, the deeds of Christ, which means the same thing as Messiah, means anointed one. He says the deeds of the Messiah. He sends his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one? Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" So on the one hand, he's saying, "Not ever so sure." But on the other hand, he's saying, "Well, it may not be you, but I think you're the kind of person who might know who he is, if you aren't him." So he clearly has some confidence in Jesus and his ability to represent God in some way, but he's not sure. Because if he is the Messiah, then that has huge implications Jesus, in classic Jesus fashion, doesn't say, yeah, it's me. He says, no, go and tell him what you hear and see. Take the evidence back with you. Blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Now, they're all very Messiah-ish things. They're the kinds of things that the Old Testament prophets looked towards in God's anointed one who was to come. So by the evidence of the miracles, by the evidence of the good news being proclaimed to the poor, that's significant too, because it was never about the rich, the wealthy, the elite. It was always about the poor, the widow, the orphan, and so on. So Jesus isn't saying, yes, it's me, but he's saying, yes, it's me, because look, this is what's happening. You decide. And that remains true for us today, I believe, because particularly in this age we live in where objective truth isn't really the thing, it's very difficult. As this is somewhere I've said this before, and I'll, the great evangelical church leader John Stott, to his dying day, I think not that long ago, was saying that you can argue people into the kingdom. I don't believe that's true, I'm afraid. Sorry, Mr. Stott, I know you're a great man, but I don't think you can at all. Present them with the evidence, make a good argument for Jesus, and they will believe. That, to my mind, doesn't work now. May have worked once upon a time, and it clearly worked for him very well over his long life. What people today seem to need is not objective truth, but they need evidence, and they need to know, does it work? Will it be good for me? Is it something that will work for me? And so I think our task, in the same way as it was John's task, is to do what John did. To point to Jesus. Yes, I could argue with you till the cows come home about the significance of the four horsemen in the Revelation. By the way, read it. Don't be afraid of that book. I've been reading it this week, and it is so amazing and really good thing to read in Advent. So if you're thinking, what shall I read in Advent? Read Revelation. It's fantastically encouraging. So we could argue about all the symbolism in that, and some people do, till they're blue in the face. That's not going to bring people into God's kingdom. We could argue with people about what Isaiah said about the Messiah and whether it really relates to Jesus or not. We could argue about the date of Christmas. That's not going to bring people into the kingdom either. But Jesus had it when he said to John, "Go and tell him what you hear and see." When we talk to people about our own experience, that's not objective truth, but it's truth, because we know when we have experienced God's love, when we have experienced the life of God affecting our life, and we can talk to others about that. We can say, this is what Jesus means to me. This is what God has done in my life. This is what I've heard and seen. And they make their own mind up. Just as John had to make his own mind up on the basis of the evidence that John's disciples took back to him from Jesus, so as we speak to others, as we tell them of our experience of God through Jesus, it's up to them to make their own mind up. We can't persuade or force anyone into God's kingdom. We present them with the evidence as we know it, and they make up their own mind, because it's good news. It's good news. We'll leave it there. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for John. Thank you for his example of dedication to you. Thank you for his outspokenness in calling people to repentance, that they might be ready to receive you when your Messiah came. Thank you that he sought out evidence that Jesus truly is and was your Messiah, your anointed one, your Christ, who was to come. Help us to point others to Jesus, as John did. Help us, as we experience your love and your life in our lives, to declare that to others in an appropriate way as good news. And help us to have the confidence in the activity of your Holy Spirit to leave them to make up their own mind about you. Help us to be diligent in praying for our family and friends who do not yet know you, that they might decide, as John clearly did, that Jesus truly is the Messiah, the one sent from God, the Son of God, who is coming into the world to bring light to the world, to bring salvation, to establish your kingdom, rule, and reign for all eternity. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand?